Again, good morning and thanks for joining us for Echo Church Online and for inviting us into your home today. The title of today's message is a question, and I need you to ask it to some of the people that are sitting around you, or you can just type it online. Here's the question: what do you see? All right, go ahead, ask the people around you, type it now. What do you see? How you answer that question is incredibly important. So much of life is not what is, but how you see it. The way you see your situation will determine what you see in your situation. What if your present struggle has less to do with what's happening to you and more about how you're seeing it? What if your miracle isn't about changing your circumstance, rather it's about letting God change you? If you've ever struggled through a difficult season, or perhaps you're currently in one, I believe God has something special to share with you today. As we get started, if you need prayer or if you would like to get connected, simply text STEPS to 94253 or click on the link in the pinned comment on Facebook and on YouTube. I also want to challenge you to not just watch today, but to engage online. When you hit the like button, when you comment, you're helping others engage that are watching right now. I also want to encourage you to hit the share button. You never know what someone in your sphere of influence is going through. Your simple share could be the miracle that they have been looking for. So even now, as we begin the message, hit the share button and help your friends and family find hope. Let me also give a quick shout out to all of those that have been busy serving during all of this. Many of you have helped deliver 150 You Are Loved signs from here in the Avon area to as far as over in Terre Haute. Others have been delivering groceries to seniors and high-risk families. As of this week, Echo has made 56 home deliveries. Come on, give some online love to those that are echoing God's love over the past couple of months. Today is part 6 of our series, God of Miracles. We're looking at the 7 miracles of Jesus highlighted in the Gospel of John. I hope that you have appreciated this series as much as I have enjoyed preaching it. We set out to look at Jesus. When life is tough, when you have more questions than answers, I hope this series is a great reminder. Look to Jesus. You'll never be disappointed. You'll find strength and comfort and inspiration to keep moving forward. While Jesus did many miracles, John highlights 7 miracles to help us more fully comprehend how Jesus is both incredibly powerful and amazingly close. That regardless of what you're facing today, Jesus is present. Jesus is working out God's plan in your life. The miracle we'll look at today will be especially helpful if you've ever walked through a difficult season of life, or perhaps you're currently feeling overwhelmed with the challenges that you're facing. My prayer for you is that you'll learn to see with fresh eyes and to glimpse your life from God's vantage point. In chapter 9, John tells us about the 6th miracle. It reads like this: as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed, and he came back seeing. Come on, let's pray together as we jump into God's Word today. Father, I know that for every one of us, you have something you want to say. So we say back to you, speak, your children are listening. God, just as the man came back seeing, we want to see better today. We pray that having encountered your Word and your presence, that will never be the same. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, everybody at home, we say it together. Amen. One more time, ask someone around you or just say it out loud. It's good to get it into your mind. What do you see? If you keep on reading in the chapter, there are many people that witness this miracle, but they all see it differently. Neighbors are convinced it must be someone else because they knew him only as the blind beggar. The religious elite see it and they're mad. Rather than celebrate this man's miracle, they're mad that Jesus worked on the Sabbath. I guess spitting on the ground and making mud is considered working up a sweat. They all witnessed the same thing, but their hearts reflected what they saw. Have you ever noticed how two people can be in the same place but see something entirely different? Perhaps you were with a group of people and something crazy happened. Later, as you were recounting the story, others saw different things or told the story in a way that you really didn't remember. Two people can see the same obstacle. One can be filled with optimism while the other is filled with dread. What do you see? The other night, our family was watching the Disney live-action movie Christopher Robin. I began laughing out loud in this one scene because it so powerfully demonstrated this truth. Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh are riding on a train. Grown-up Christopher is trying to get work done while the bear of very little brain is playing a game called Say What You See. As they ride along, Winnie the Pooh begins to play the game and literally says what he sees. Tree, grass, sheep, house. Later on, while back on the train trying to rescue Christopher Robin with the rest of the 100-acre wood crew, Pooh asks them all, "What do you see?" Piglet goes first and he says, "Panic, worry, catastrophe." Tigger answers, "Speed, danger, recklessness." While the glum Eeyore responds, "Disgrace, shame, humiliation." Come on, be honest. You know which of those characters most resembles you. So much of life is not what happens, but how you respond to what happens. I love how Pastor Mark Batterson puts it. He says this, "We don't experience the world as it is, we experience the world as we are. Our outer reality eventually becomes a mere reflection of our inner reality." Another way of saying it is this, we don't see the world as it actually is, we see the world as we are. The condition of our heart dictates how we see the challenges and obstacles of life. Let me go back to what I said at the beginning. The way you see your situation determines what you see in your situation. Some of the people in the story had hard hearts, so that's what they saw. Some had a good eye and they saw the good. Others had a bad eye and that's what they saw. Same situation, very different story. Perhaps it's because I'm really missing sports right now, but I kept thinking about baseball during my message prep this week. I can remember my Little League baseball coaches yelling the phrase, "Good eye, good eye," whenever I wouldn't swing at a bad pitch. Did you know that you literally have a good eye and a bad eye? You have one eye that sees better than the other. It's your dominant eye. Did you know that you also have a metaphorical good eye and bad eye? You can choose to see the good in life, or you can choose to see the bad. You have a good eye, but it's up to you to choose to see life through the opportunities and possibilities, even while facing some dark days. In the sixth miracle, Jesus causes a man to see that was born blind. And if we'll open our eyes today, we'll discover that God wants to help us see as well. How are you seeing the world around you? Through your good eye or through a hard heart? Jesus tells us that our seeing has more to do with our heart than we realize. He says it like this, "Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your whole body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness." Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight were filling you with light. So here's what I want to do today. For the next few minutes, I want to look closely at three details in the story, and I want to use them as a mirror for our lives. I'm going to ask us three questions to help us learn what we see in the world around us. All the people involved in this passage encounter the same story, but they saw it differently. Some had a good eye, some had a bad eye. The only difference between seeing the miracle and not seeing it is which eye they were looking with. I want to help us see better today. Here's the first question. Number one, when the odds are against you, are you hopeless or hopeful? Do you tend to feel hopeless, or are you filled with hope and expectancy? In this miracle, Jesus heals a man that was born blind. It would be amazing if Jesus healed a man that had become blind. Perhaps he encountered degeneration or was faced with an accident that took his sight. But doctors have described this miracle, a man receiving sight that never had it, as medically irreversible. While this man's vocabulary would be similar to yours and mine, his mind's eye would have no way of visualizing the words. He can't picture the colors of a sunset or stand in awe at the landscape of a mountain range. He has no sight memory because the important neurological developments that happen in a newborn baby never took place. Jesus doesn't undo something that had gone wrong. He doesn't correct astigmatism or remove a cataract. Jesus creates something from nothing. He literally forms the neurological connections between the brain and the eye that previously did not exist. Medically speaking, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let me say it like this. Before Jesus shows up, this man had missed his chance to see. The natural window of opportunity had completely closed. But this is precisely when God performs some of the most amazing miracles. Perhaps you feel like you've missed your window of opportunity. You've seen several doctors, but they haven't found the solution. Or your last marriage ended in a bitter divorce, and you're unsure if you can love someone, let alone trust someone ever again. Perhaps repeated mistakes appear to have sabotaged whatever integrity you once had. Maybe you feel ostracized from your friends and family. Or perhaps you feel so sexually broken that you aren't even sure what healthy intimacy looks like. Well, every one of these scenarios aren't merely hypothetical. In fact, they're the people that Jesus healed. The woman with the issue of blood, the woman at the well, the tax collector, the leper, and the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, all people that Jesus healed. Regardless of your circumstance, part of what John wants you to see in this miracle is that with Jesus, you're never too late. He can create something from nothing. He's the God of second chances, and third, and fourth, and thousandth. When you turn to God, it's never too little, too late. If you tend to feel hopeless when the odds are against you, ask God to develop you into a hopeful person. Here's number two. When things don't turn out the way you want, do you get bitter or do you get better? What do you do when the miracle you're believing God for doesn't happen? You keep waiting, you keep praying, but you don't see the miracle. In the beginning of this series, you might remember me saying that all of us wants a miracle, but none of us wants to be in need of a miracle. In our passage, the man is born blind. To add insult to the injury, the common belief in the community is that his blindness was the result of sin. But then Jesus says something that could be even harder to hear. Do you remember his response? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We assume that when things happen differently than we planned, that something must be wrong. God is mad at us, we messed up, someone had it out for us, but rarely do we expect that God could allow hardship in order to bring about the breakthrough. This man was born blind so that the power of God could be displayed in his life. His setback was the setup for God's glory to be revealed, both then and now. His hardship is still producing breakthroughs even to this day. In other words, God allowed this challenge so that he could do something better in and through his life. Sometimes we need to recognize that the circumstances that we're asking God to change are the very circumstances God is using to change us. Moreover, we've got to remind ourselves that we aren't the center of the story. We're privileged to be in the story, in service to the King. But it's not about our glory, it's about His. There's only one subject in the sentence of my life, and it's not me, it's God. I exist to glorify Him, to point to Him, to follow Him, to obey Him. My life is not my own. It's why Paul declares this, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Listen, when we're frustrated with how things are turning out, we need to step back and examine our hearts for a minute. Have we started making it about us, or are we truly living for His glory? Whatever I'm walking through, if God gets the glory, mission accomplished. The eternal reward that we'll receive will be well worth any earthly sacrifice we make. And here's what I love about realizing the ultimate goal. When I live to glorify God, no circumstance can stop me from achieving my purpose. Whether I'm standing on the mountain, whether I'm walking through the valley, or somewhere in between, I can always live to glorify God, which means that in every circumstance and in every season, I can live out my God-given purpose. When things don't turn out like I had planned, do I grow bitter or do I allow God to do His work in me and get better? Here's the last one, number three. Do you see the ways of God as obstacles for your own desires or as an opportunity for obedience? In other words, are you eager to fulfill the commands of God or do you see the ways of God as slowing you down for what you really want? In our story, this is now the sixth miracle. By now, you know that Jesus could have healed the man without all of the theatrics. Again, don't sanitize the Bible. Jesus spit on the ground and he used it to make mud. I'm not trying to be gross here, but I'm guessing it took a lot of spit to make mud. Imagine you're the blind man. You can't see Jesus, but you hear every second of what's going on. And then the mud made from saliva is being rubbed on your eyes. It's quite the scene, isn't it? Scholars can't agree on why Jesus did this, but seeing that the Pharisees became angered when Jesus made mud on the Sabbath is probably an indication that he was just messing with the religious elite. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus proceeds to tell the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. We don't know the exact distance the man traversed to get there, but it's highly likely that he had to descend hundreds of steps from where he began. If that wasn't enough, this is all happening during a Jewish festival, so the man would have run into many thousands of people along the way. Remember, he's blind as he's walking. We don't know for sure why Jesus asked him to do this, but let me take a guess. Like the man that sat lame for 38 years, Jesus doesn't just heal this man physically, he also restores his soul. From birth, he was blind and thereby forced to beg to stay alive. When Jesus sent him on this mission, he restored his dignity by rebuking his feeling of helplessness. This man went blind, but he came back seeing. If he doesn't walk in obedience, he doesn't get his miracle. In my experience, most miracles require an act of obedience, sometimes blind obedience. You and I can never manufacture a miracle, but we can obey God. So often we'll ask God for the miraculous, but we aren't willing to follow his ways. Listen, God is less concerned with our circumstances and more concerned with our obedience. If we're walking in obedience, not only is God glorified, but we're growing to look more like Him, which is His goal for us. God's ways always precede God's will. Walking in God's ways always precedes knowing or understanding God's will for our lives. If you're looking for the miracle, commit to God's ways. Live first in all that you do. Each day before you do anything else, get into God's Word and spend time in prayer. Give God the first of your day and give God the first of your week. Decide for you and your household, participating in the house of God will be your first priority, and trust that God will take care of the rest of your week. Trust God with the first of your finances. That's what it means to tithe. We trust God with our first and our best. God can do more with our 10% than we can with 100%. 90% God's way is wholly better than 100% our way. Another of God's ways, serve God's people. You were made on purpose for a purpose. God has a desire for your life, and it always begins with serving others. We call it the dream team because we want to be part of seeing God's dream for you come to life. Following Jesus is not a spectator sport. When you say yes to Jesus, you're saying yes to His ways. You're saying, God, you saved me and gave yourself up for me. Now I'm offering my life back to you. Whatever, whenever, however, my answer is yes. So let me ask you, what do you see? When the odds are against you, are you hopeless or hopeful? Are you eagerly expecting God to move in your life? When things don't turn out the way you want, do you grow bitter or do you get better? Are you allowing the circumstance to change you to look more like Jesus? And finally, are God's ways an obstacle to avoid, or are they opportunities to walk in obedience, to be about God's ways, giving God glory with your life? One step of obedience can open blind eyes. One step of obedience can reverse what seemed impossible. One step of obedience can begin a brand new chapter in your life. If you receive it today, will you pray with me? Father, we ask for opened eyes today. Help us to see with good eyes, with eyes of faith, realizing that seeing isn't believing, but that believing leads to seeing. God, we don't want to be hopeless and bitter seeing your ways as obstacles. No, we want to see with hopeful eyes, growing better every day and walking in obedience. Father, we declare right here and right now, we are not our own. We have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer us that live, but Christ that lives within us. Use our lives for your glory. As we continue to pray, I want to pray with another group of people because you realize that today is your day to begin walking with Jesus. Before you can live as a hopeful person, you need to allow the hope of Jesus into your life. What do I mean? The Bible calls Jesus the light of the world. There's a darkness in our hearts, and only Jesus can fill us with His light. Perhaps you feel that way right now. Your heart feels dark and empty, but you sense that God has more for you. So what do? You tell Jesus that you need Him. In just a moment, we're going to pray, and I want to invite you to pray with me to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that each of us has sinned, and it means that you've missed the mark. That sin not only separates you from God, but it leaves you spiritually dead. But the Bible also says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. You receive forgiveness for all of your past and you also receive new life in Jesus. So as we pray, why don't you tell God that you believe He died on the cross to forgive you and that He rose up from the dead to make you spiritually alive again. If God is speaking to you today and you know that this is you, you know that today is your day, you're ready to give your life to Jesus, why don't you pray with me right now? Pray it out loud or you can pray it in your own heart. Pray something like this. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose up from the dead to make me alive. Today, I choose to follow you. Guide me to follow you my whole life. It's in Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that all of heaven just rejoiced over you, and so do we as your church family. If you prayed that prayer with me just now, we want to celebrate that with you. Would you do us a favor? Text the word STEPS to 94253 and let us know of your faith step. In a moment, we're going to worship the powerful name of Jesus. Before we do that, let me remind the Echo Kids families out there that we have a special service on our YouTube channel for Uptown and Midtown kids. That's elementary and preschool. Also, if you'd like to give online, you can do so at echochurch.cc or on the echochurch.cc app. Also, I want you to be aware of a few things that are coming up. First, in just a couple of weeks, we'll begin a brand new series called The New Normal. Things are not going back to normal, and perhaps that's a good thing. We'll discover how to leverage this current season to grow and to get better. So be on the lookout for that series that'll be coming soon. Next, signups for summer picnics will begin soon. Last year we called them summer dinner parties. They're gonna be a little different this year. If you're interested in hosting a backyard summer picnic, will you please text the word STEPS to 94253 and mark in the comments that you would like to be a host. And finally, mark your calendars for Saturday, July 11th, which is our annual serve day. Details are beginning to formulate now for what I think could be our best summer serve day ever. No sign up is necessary at this time, but be on the lookout for those details coming to you soon. At this point, please save the date. That's serve day on Saturday, July 11th. Hey, we're so honored to spend Sunday with you. Follow Jesus with your whole life this week. Know that you're not alone. We're in this together. As we trust God with our lives, God is faithful to build us up. If you're tempted to lose heart this week, ask God to help you see with your good eye and gain His hopefulness. Come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time together today. Use it to draw us closer and send us to be your love to others this week. Use our tithes and offerings that others may experience the hope and love of Jesus that's in our hearts. We worship you, God. You alone have our focus this week. In Jesus' name, come on, everybody, let's say it together. Amen.